The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Big season behind Real Madrid. Whatever happens in the Champions League final, they won La Liga. Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. Craig Burley here with me. Kay Murray in the studio. Forgetting my own name here. So basically, great season behind Real Madrid, but it could be an incredible one if things go their way next week against Liverpool in the Champions League final. All eyes are on their game against Betis today, the last game of the season for Real Madrid in La Liga. That finished 0-0. Nothing too much to talk about there, except for the lineup that Carlo Ancelotti put out, and it was a very strong lineup. Headlines in the Spanish press today was the final in Paris starts today. All eyes on it. Maybe a few question marks over a few positions as we now welcome in tonight to our panel. Sid Lowe at the Bernabeu.
Oh, that was a long start.
Wasn't it?
You're not used to that long piece at
the
start.
And I forgot my own name. That's what it was. Julie Laron is with us as well. But I want to start with you, Sid, because I want to talk about that lineup that Ancelotti did put out there. He said people shouldn't read too much into it, but we have to, don't we?
Yeah, of course we do. And we do as well because of what Ancelotti has said over the last 2 weeks. He talked immediately after Real Madrid won the league about using these weeks to rest players that needed resting, but also to keep players moving, to keep the momentum going. And he'd singled out this game at the very start of this run to say, what we want to do is get to the Betis game ready. And this was always likely to be kind of a dress rehearsal, if you like, for the final. So I think we were all watching tonight to see what the starting 11 would be with the belief, which may, I think, be proven wrong by maybe one player or two, but certainly not more than that, that the starting 11 tonight was likely to be the starting 11 in Paris. Now, I must say, I think that what we saw tonight probably won't be quite what we see in Paris. My guess, but it is only a guess at this stage, is that instead of Rodrigo, we'll see Valverde in the side. But I think that's likely to be the starting 11, depending, of course, on what happens in terms of the fitness of David Alaba.
What do you reckon, Pablo? Rodrigo or Valverde?
Well, it's a hard question, to be honest, Kay. They've both been brilliant. I think Rodrigo had a magnificent end of the season with such important goals. But also Valverde, I think, been great the whole season. Physically, he's really strong, very dynamic, a box-to-box player that's, I think... would be a very tough, decision for Ancelotti to make in Paris next week.
It's a big decision, isn't it? Obviously, this is the last chance, and they've got eight days now until that final.
I do agree. There's one decision to be made at the back, and that will be probably made for him with the fitness of David Alaba. And then the only other position that really is up for grabs, because Camavinga's not going to play before Casemiro, although he's looked really good recently, he will go with that experience, particularly with the Liverpool front three. But I've always said, and I've said for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think he'll play Valverde. And I think one of the reasons is that Rodrigo will be equally effective off the bench like he was against Manchester City. And two, Valverde gives him a bit more of everything. He can dig, he can tackle, he can get box to box. He's pretty good on the ball. He'll get in the box. But more importantly, somebody will have to track Andy Robertson. Not only Andy Robertson, but if everyone's fit, Luis Diaz will be on that side as well. That's a lot for Carvajal. That's a lot not to have somebody who's going to double back and watch those players and possibly tuck into midfield. And I think for those reasons, I think it's a tiny bit more conservative playing Valverde, but I think it would be, in my opinion, the right decision. Having watched him in the games against Manchester City, he's a damn good player, but he gives them a bit more defensive cover as well.
Jules, what are your thoughts on it all?
Yeah, I agree with what Craig just said. I think as an impact sub, we've seen already in the Champions League, what Rodrigo can do, the Man City game, the Chelsea game, of course, with that goal on the volley. Even the PSG game, him and Camavinga have been perfect coming on for the last half hour, 20, 25 minutes, depending what the score is and what the game is like. And I think Valverde, again, for the same reason that Craig gave, defensively, especially on that left-hand side for Liverpool, he would be a key player, not just to protect Carvajal and to help out Carvajal, but also Luka Modric would be on that side, and Luka Modric can't spend his whole game just covering and coming across and shuffling on that right-hand side to cover for Robertson's going up and down that left wing. So Valverde would be perfect for that. He's, as always, would be a hybrid 4-4-2 when they don't have the ball, and Valverde really plays on that right-hand side, and then a 4-3-3 where Valverde has more freedom, I guess, when they have the ball, when they're on the ball. So I think, for me, there's not even a debate right now. I don't think Rodrigo can start that final, and I think Valverde would be the 11th man.
Just going back to the fact that it was the last La Liga game of the season for Real Madrid, Sid, was Gareth Bale there tonight?
Gareth Bale was the last man left out of the squad, so they named the preliminary squad and then left two players out of it. One, of course, is a third goalkeeper, and the other one was Gareth Bale. Now, so he wasn't in the squad. We haven't been able to find out whether he was in the stadium. There was certainly no mention of him, and at the end of the game, you had a little bit of applause for Marcelo and Isco, who we believe have played their last game, but nothing said about Bale. Now, of course, it's different because Marcelo and Isco were on the pitch, and there wasn't any kind of formal post-game celebrations of those two players, I suppose in part because then you would probably have to take Bale into that, even if you weren't really intending to. So I must confess, we haven't been able to confirm whether Bale was actually in the stadium.
It's a shame, Sid. In some sense, it's been sour there. It seems to have been because, you know, latterly, of course, it has not been good, and he's played a big part in that. But there was a lot that was really, really good for long periods initially at this club.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you look at Gareth Bale's achievements at Real Madrid, and they are gigantic. Now, there's no doubt about it. These last 2 years, you could maybe even go even further than 2 years. You could perhaps even put the cut-off point at the end of the final in Kiev, the last time they played Liverpool. And you just wonder if these last 2 years have just been 2 years too long, or maybe even longer than that. But what Gareth Bale's achieved here is absolutely extraordinary. The impact that he's had in really, really big games, the Champions League finals, the number of goals he scored, which is over 100, he has been, in those terms at least, a great Real Madrid player. But of course, this is about something that goes beyond the statistics or beyond the achievement to something about affection, something about a sense of commitment, a sense of engagement with the club. And for the last 2.5 years or so, that just hasn't been there. And it's a real pity. I agree with you. It's sad more than anything else that it's come to this.
Pablo, how will you remember Gareth Bale's time at Real Madrid?
I thought you're going to ask me when he was a sports and he was playing on the same side with me and he was like really, really fast. Listen, it's a shame. It's a real shame the way he's leaving the club, because for me it's been absolutely fantastic for Real Madrid, especially, you know, the first 4 or 5 years at the club. It's been, I was just looking at what he really achieved for the club, and he's, you know, incredible. So, but, you know, he's still 32. I mean, he's not that old. So hopefully he doesn't, you know, he still have that passion for football to carry on playing wherever he goes. For me, he's still got, you know, a lot of football to still, you know, do and play and enjoy. But it's a shame. It's a shame because, you know, at Real Madrid, when you are there, you know, in a big club, you have to behave like a professional player. And last 2 years, probably not been good enough.
But he's chose this ending, hasn't he? I mean, he's chose it to happen this way. Yeah, he might not have been on the team a lot of the times. Yeah, he's had some injuries. But he's clearly been up front and basically saying, I don't particularly care whether the fans give me a send-off or like me, or whether I'm going to be at the stadium or not be at the stadium. So for all that great achievement, and I've been a huge fan of his, having watched him play at Spurs and all these games when I was broadcasting in England, he's chosen to end it sourly himself. There's no doubt about that. He could have helped himself. And he's clearly not fussed whether he gets a send-off or not. He's done what he went to do. He's chosen to end it the way that it's ended and his attitude. And he's quite happy to go away and play for Wales and give his all. But he's also quite happy for his Real Madrid career, and said mentioned it over at least a couple of years, to basically just peter out.
We'll all talk now is on the shiny new star that could be coming in at Real Madrid. But will it be Real Madrid that Kylian Mbappe chooses? This from his mother today. We have an agreement with both Real Madrid and PSG. It's up to Kylian now. We await his decision. The two offers are almost identical. There are no new meetings in order to negotiate Kylian's future. Those are over. Jules, what's the latest?
The latest is that we don't know. We're still waiting to find out. We're still waiting to find out from him directly, officially. The words will come from out of his mouth, whether that's tomorrow, Saturday, whether that's Sunday morning, Sunday evening. We don't know yet, but it should be this weekend. We're waiting and we're trying to find out from the PSG side. They don't know. They haven't heard anything. They still, well, certainly this morning, still believe that he was on his way to Madrid. The Madrid side, they don't know. They believe that he's going to stay in Paris. So this is an incredible, this is the most incredible transfer saga that we've ever seen in football. Yeah, we've had and we've covered big transfer sagas. We players having clash, going to the clash with their clubs to leave, agents, all of that. Yeah, we've had. But a saga like this, that, to be fair, has lasted for 12 years because Real Madrid tried to sign him when he was 11. And then they're trying again 6 years ago, and they tried again 5 years ago, and they tried again last summer, and they tried again this summer, and it might not still come. This is never seen before. And, well, we've got 1 or 2 days left to wait, but whatever the outcome, whether he stays or leaves, whether he goes to Madrid or stays in Paris, it will be one, if not the most incredible transfer saga we've ever seen.
He's either genuinely not made his mind up, or he genuinely loves the fact that everybody's still talking about it and everybody's hanging on. But I've got to tell you, I've never heard, you know, his mum coming out and talking about it. I'm trying to think now, none of us here were anything like Kylian Mbappe, but we all made transfers. You know, I made a transfer from Chelsea to Celtic and from Celtic back down to Derby County. But at no point did my mother ever come out of the house with a cup of tea and go, Craig's not made his mind up yet. You know what I mean? It's just bonkers, isn't it? It's just bonkers. Everybody seems to get involved now. Just, you know, make a decision one way or the other. And I think we all know what it's going to be looking like. It's going to go to Real Madrid. But if that's the case,
well, it's interesting you say that. Because, Jules, you said today that the feeling from both sides of the clubs is that Madrid are fearful that he's going to stay at PSG, and PSG are fearful that, yes, he's going to go to Madrid. Are they just both paranoid now?
They just don't know. I think it's been a big roller coaster, to be fair, where I think he changed his mind a lot, which is understandable because we've said often on the show that he still feels there's more things to achieve from him in Paris because it's his hometown. If he become the captain that lifts the Champions League next season, for example, the first one in the history of the club, this is going to be extraordinary for him. He can become the greatest goal scorer of in the club's history, for example. So there's still a lot of things that he can do at that club. But on the other hand, Madrid has always been his dream since he was a kid. You know, he's playing with Karim Benzema. He's playing for the team that is in the final of the Champions League and can win it for the 14th time. This is the biggest club in the world. This is the famous white shirt. It's the famous Bernabeu. It's all of that. So you can see why he's really torn in between. But he's had a long time to choose. He's had a long time. He clearly used one club against the other in terms of, oh, they're offering me this, what about you? Can you up your offer a bit? Oh, look, now they've given me the image right, 100%. What about you? So clearly going back and forth, which I think they've played that really, really well. But now, come on, man, it's about time to reveal it. So he thought about doing a LeBron James or an Antoine Griezmann, not sure the Griezmann one was as good as the LeBron one, of going on French television and say, okay, I've made my decision, here is my choice, I'm going to do this. But now they have second thoughts as well, because maybe it's not the greatest of ideas, especially if he stays. Because I think if he stays, it's a bit more underwhelming than if he goes to Real Madrid after all everything that happened in the last year or so. So even they don't know yet how to announce it. It's just, like you said, bonkers.
Absolutely bonkers. What's the feeling back in Madrid then, Sid, about this whole situation?
Well, I think there's a quite simple way of explaining the process that Jules was talking about. If we're in a situation, and he's quite right, in which both clubs are frightened They're both nervous. They both believe that there's a chance that he will leave them in the lurch, because from either club's point of view, if he chooses against them now, it will feel like a defeat, and a very, very heavy defeat from both clubs' point of view. There's a very simple reason why they're both in that position. And it's not just the paranoia, as you say, but I suppose there is that natural pessimism when you've put so much effort into making something happen, when you've been told, yeah, it's okay, I'm keen on this, and then it doesn't happen. But there's one other very simple thing. The clubs know, absolutely know, what Kylian Mbappe has said to them. They don't know, not exactly, what he has said to the other club. They know what he's told them he said to the other club, but they don't know what he said to the other club. So why are both clubs worried about it? Because neither of them have heard him say the thing they need him to say. So both of them can believe he might have said it to them. And so they're both in this position. They haven't heard the thing they need. Neither Real Madrid nor PSG have heard the thing they need. So of course they're nervous. Because they're both thinking, well, if he was staying, in PSG's case, or in Real Madrid's case, well, if he was coming, surely he would have told us. He would have said something. We'd have been able to sense it somehow. There would have been a promise. There would have been a sense of him saying at some point, look, don't worry about it. And it's extraordinary, really, that Mbappe hasn't put either club in that position, where he's calmed them down and said, look, privately, it's all right. Don't worry about it. And that's why they're both fearful, because neither of them have heard the words they need to hear.
Pablo, if you were Kylian Mbappe, what would you do?
Listen, if I had a chance to go to Real Madrid, I wouldn't think twice, for sure. For me, Real Madrid is the biggest club in the world. And I think playing for Real Madrid would take you to another level. You know, a chance to build your own legacy, to play in the greatest stadium. I'm sure when... If you walk in Real Madrid and you see all the trophies, Champions League and all that, that would be something amazing, like Cristiano Ronaldo did back in 2009 when he was playing for Manchester United and he was winning trophy and all that, and he decided to go to Real Madrid. So I understand and I respect PSG. They have great players. They have huge ambitions. Di Maria is leaving at the end of the season, so they will try to, you know, to keep Mbappé to play alongside with Messi. I know that, but Real Madrid for me is the greatest club. So if that was me, I would pick Real Madrid for sure.
So if it is the case, if he goes to Real Madrid, Pablo, how do you see him fitting in with Benzema and Vinicius?
No, he's perfect. Real Madrid suit him, especially in the style of playing. You know, that counter-attacking football with Vinicius and Benzema, Mbappé on the right-hand side. You know that quick attacking transition that we have seen from Ancelotti this season with huge players. You know, with Modric and Kroos. You know, those creativity players who can play. Yeah, good balls, you know, in behind, and with his speed and technique, he can make the difference. So that would be amazing to see Mbappe playing from Real Madrid.
I tell you what, I was just thinking that must have been a really difficult season for you, Pablo, when you were squad number 333 behind you.
That's why they gave me this last game that we play at home. And it was last game at Watford away, so I was not in the squad, because if not, they needed to change, the number. It was 334, so...
He's going to Real Madrid. Come on.
He's going to, but just,
if you get the chance...
He can't announce it on television, though, can he? He can't do
Well, this is 2022. Some of these players can do things that we'd never thought that we would do when we were playing. It was a little bit more simplistic. You know, let's hold a press conference and get a... Sign a contract, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, things have changed. Look, as Pablo has said, you know, Barcelona are having their issues at the moment. But to me, and people in Italy and England and other countries will argue, to me, the two big Spanish clubs have always been, in my opinion, the biggest draw for the top players. Now, there are other great clubs around the world, of course there are, but I've just felt that. Yeah, it's been cyclical, you know, Juventus and Milan's and these other clubs. But the two Spanish giants have been a huge draw and continue to be a huge draw, particularly Real Madrid. And I think for those reasons, now's the right time. As difficult as that is for PSG, I think now's the right time in his career. I think, as Jules was saying a few days ago, he's given PSG a number of years that maybe they didn't even think they were going to get that long, who knows. And I think it's a good time to move. It's a transitional period at Real Madrid. They've been hugely successful this season, but we still know that it's a rebuild. And he's a huge part of that. And I think for those reasons, eventually we'll probably see him make this announcement to go to Spain.
Yeah, but Pablo, just going back to talking about what you'd do if you were Kylian Mbappe, wouldn't you want to stay at PSG to play with Lionel Messi?
Well, this is what I'm saying. PSG has a big ambitions, and they want to have top players to continue, you know, fighting for the Champions League or, you know, the domestic competitions and all that. But I think too good for that. But all those players always want to be surrounded by top players as well. And I'm sure for Mbappe to have Messi, you know, alongside him and some of the rest of the players. Are incredible. So even Messi, I think one of the reasons that went to PSG because he knew that Mbappe was there, Di Maria, and some of those players. So they cannot let Messi down, and they try to make you know, a huge effort to keep those players to, you know, to give a chance Messi to be in a strong side with top players. Well, we'll see how that finish.
I don't think that's an argument now, really, or an angle. I think, you know, a few years ago, yeah, you'd have crawled over whatever to play, to be in the same team as that guy. I'm not suggesting you wouldn't want to be in the same team. But I think that allure has somewhat gone. He had a difficult season this season, or the season that's just about to finish, or has finished, and he's already talking about going to Miami. He's already talking about the next phase where, you know, let's be honest about it, that's kind of, you know, that's scaling it down, going to MLS from where he's been. So that's not exactly looking at it from Mbappe's point of view, or anybody saying, oh, let's go in there and play with Lionel Messi for 5 years. That's just not going to happen. He's thinking about where he's going to be to finish off his career and earn a nice bit of money and live in a nice country. And Kylian Mbappe has to do what's right for him.
Oh, well, we're talking about the Champions League final. The Champions League final this season is coming up a week on Saturday. Liverpool taking on Real Madrid. Liverpool touted to win this one. They are favourites. Real Madrid now have 8 days until the final. Liverpool in action this weekend as the Premier League title race comes to an end. Pablo, what's your prediction for this game?
I think Liverpool been really good recently. I'm a big fan of Jurgen Klopp, I have to say. Hopefully this weekend they don't play well and they don't win against Wolves. We need City to win the league. But for the Champions League final, you know, I have to give credit to what Klopp has been doing with Liverpool this season in the way they've been competing in the last few weeks, you know, with that energy and all that. So, I don't know if Salah will be okay for the game, but I think Liverpool got big chances. In one game, will be different. In two games, I mean, Real Madrid, we have seen what he's done this Champions League. But in one game, I think Liverpool have a big chance.
Sid, 13-time European Cup winners, Real Madrid are the underdogs heading into this final. What's the feeling in Madrid heading into it?
Real Madrid will be absolutely delighted to be considered the underdogs going into this. And Real Madrid don't lose finals. There's no guarantee of anything, but Real Madrid do not lose finals. You look back at this, of course, the last one they lost was against Liverpool in 1981. They've won their 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th European Cup since then. And won all of those finals. Now, they've been close a few times. They were close to losing, of course, in Lisbon and Sergio Ramos scores. They were close to losing in Milan and they win on penalties against Atletico Madrid. But they overran Valencia. They beat Liverpool, who scored three times in Kiev. There is something about this team in Europe. And in a way, there's no point in giving you a logical answer to this. There's no point in giving you an analytical answer because we've watched what's happened here this season. And it's not logical and it's not analytical. Now, there are analytical parts to it. And you can talk about, for example, the introduction of Camavinga, the performances of Karim Benzema, the moments in which the teams they played against froze. We can talk as well, if we want to look at it from an analytical point of view, about how that was the Bernabeu and this isn't. And maybe that changes things. But it, from my point of view, at least, of having watched Madrid over the years, do this kind of thing quite a lot. I find it impossible to give you a logical answer except to just say, look, it's Real Madrid. They win European Cups. It's just what they do.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting to see, and it is all coming up next week. Speaking of the Champions League, there are reports of a tennis-style tournament that would actually scrap the group stage in 2024. There's a lot more on that.
What, they're going to see who's the best tennis players?
Where it's already mapped out, basically, who you're going to face next. Yeah, they're never usually bad, are they, footballers at tennis? Well, from my opinion, yeah. Anyway. Anyway, for more of that, go check out our website. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. Okay, final day of the Premier League coming up on Sunday. Liverpool remaining in contention for the quadruple. They will take on Wolves and City go into the final day. 1 point ahead of Liverpool, they will face Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa. Just a point going into it. How are you feeling ahead of it, Pablo? Any worries?
Well, no, I'm confident. I think... playing at home, obviously Villa is always a tough team to play against. Steven Gerrard, the manager, he would try to frustrate Man City, give the chance to Liverpool to win the Premier League. But like Pep Guardiola say this week, they just need to go out and enjoy the football game, put in a good performance, but I'm confident, Kay. I think Man City will win the league.
Well, they famously won it three times on the final day, probably most famously in 2012. You were there that day, Pablo. How are the fans going to be feeling going into this final day?
Yeah, but nobody remembers I scored the first goal in that game. Everyone remembers Agüero's, but nobody remembers I was the first one to open the score. Now, this is what I'm saying. Always going into the last game of the season, playing for the league and all that is an amazing day, amazing experience. I've been so, lucky to be part of that squad when we won the first Premier League back in 2012. And celebrating with the fans in your own stadium, that's something that I will never forget, and hopefully this weekend again, Man City win the league and the City fan enjoy another Premier League title.
Pep Guardiola said that the players have no reason to be nervous or anxious.
Oh, they have. I was at that game. Actually, I can't remember Pablo scoring and I was doing the commentary.
How was that then, Pablo?
You see, secret, nobody remembers it.
Oh, I don't remember.
That's it.
I don't. So I went to the Etihad that day with Peter Drury and we were commentating for the Premier League and I honestly pitched up QPR, Mark Hughes, former City manager. They were struggling, trying to fight for relegation. So they had something to play for. But I honestly thought it was going to be a walk in the park. And then when Joey Barton got sent off for what Joey Barton sort of does, when he lost the head, you're thinking, right, that's definitely it, though. So nobody, and Pablo was playing, nobody foresaw the pain and the difficulty and the stress and the breakaway goals that QPR scored on the counter, and nobody foresaw that. And that was against a team who ultimately are poorer than Aston Villa, although they're not finishing the season particularly well. So, you know, I do think City will get the job done, but I just don't think it's just never a case of turning up and just going out there and getting the 3 points. I mean, the players know that. I mean, I know what it's like. When I played at Celtic in the final day of the season, and had we lost, Rangers were winning the league. And we knew Rangers would beat Dundee United, so we knew what we had to do. It is not easy. And the crowd get tense. And until we got the second goal that day, everybody was on eggshells. So it is possible that Aston Villa have some fight and some spirit like they did against Liverpool. It is possible that it could be a frustrating day if City don't get an early goal. And that's why I think Liverpool are going to have to put a strong team out against Wolves. Even with all those players that have had niggles and look tired, they can't, I don't think they can take that risk that City are just going to walk it, because it might not happen. I saw it from my own eyes in 2012.
Going to be very, very interesting. As is next season, Pablo, it's the first time we've seen you since we knew the news of Erling Haaland signing, and we'll be wearing the Man City kit next season. You've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, great signing for the club. To be honest, you know, they needed to strengthen the squad, especially in that position. Since Aguero left the club, I think they've been missing some, you know, number nine in the box, someone who can hold the ball or make runs forward. They only have Gabriel Jesus as a number nine, but even sometime Pep put him on in wide area. So it's great to see Haaland going to Man City, a club that he started been playing years ago. So it's something that he should be proud as well. Going to a great club with a great team, great manager. We see, you know, at Man City, we normally see all the team playing against Man City and defending really deep with a big amount of players defending around the 18-yard box. And he probably in Germany, we have seen him making runs in behind because he's powerful, he's fast. So he liked this type of football. But at Man City, probably he will need to do more small spaces and you know, inside the box, but have no doubt that he got the personality and he's big, you know, to prove himself how good he could be at Man City. So yeah, big signing. I'm pleased for that. So I wish him all the best.
The biggest clubs in the world were desperate for this man's signature. One of the best young talents in the world right now. What does it mean that Manchester City secured it? What does it say about them?
That they're not going to stop, that they know they have to deliver big players because they have a big coach. And the minute he sees them lacking any desire to keep going, the chances are he'll disappear quicker than they would want. From a football perspective, it gives them, as Pablo was just saying, it just gives them another brilliant option. They've managed without a striker, a natural number nine for a couple of years. Gabriel Jesus has scored goals of late. He's played on the wide positions. But Sergio Aguero is a different animal altogether. He was a real poacher. You know, anything in the box, he's on it in a flash. It's in the goal. This guy's a bit different, but it just gives him that option that they can throw crosses in early, get nice balls into the box. They can play in behind if teams squeeze up, which doesn't happen that often. They can play into his feet, he'll hold it up, and it's still part of his game that he can get better at, because it's so important to hold the ball up for the likes of De Bruyne and Foden and all these guys coming onto it. So it just gives them so many different options. And it's also, look, they're not going to be reliant on it. And by that I mean, if he picks an injury up, like he has done at Dortmund, they know they can do it a different way. So it just gives them so many different options in terms of the way they play, in terms of the delivery into the box. And if he picks up an injury and he's out for a few weeks, guess what? They've managed to be successful without what we would consider a natural number nine.
And when it comes to signings, the feeling is that Manchester City are not done yet, even though they have got Erling Haaland coming next season. Can you see more players coming in, Jules?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the left back position, even if you've got Cancelo there, obviously, who's been the best left back in the country with Robertson, one of the best in Europe. In terms of cover, and we saw that in the West Ham game, where Zinchenko, who's a good player, make two mistakes that cost two goals that could have cost City even more. I think there's some reinforcement to be done there. It will depend as well who's leaving. If Ilkay Gundogan was to leave the club, remember there's a lot of players here with just 1 year left on their contract. Sterling, Gundogan, Mahrez, Gabriel Jesus. What's the future for them? Of course, if they go this summer, they have to be replaced. But even in midfield, I think it feels like with Fernandinho leaving, it feels like you need maybe an extra player there, an extra body, whether it's someone that can do a bit of everything in that midfield, whether you want a proper holding midfielder to be the cover for Rodri or be able to play with Rodri. If you want someone to be more creative, I don't know, whatever profile they want, but you feel midfield as well is they will need someone, especially, again, if Gundogan leaves. So I expect quite a busy summer from City. And let's not forget that Julian Alvarez from Argentina and River Plate is also coming. Whether he's going to go on loan, that remains to be seen. But that's another attacking option that is very, very promising, certainly on paper and what he's been doing in South America already. So it's not just Erling Haaland. I think Alvarez has a lot to offer as well if Pep decides to keep him, to school him, to be fair, to fit into the City team. But then I think Alvarez could be a very, very intelligent signing as well.
Yeah, speaking of busy, I wonder just how busy Erling Haaland is going to be. We are setting the over or under at 30 goals per season across all competitions, Pablo. Does he go over 30 goals or under 30 goals next season?
In the Premier League, it's hard. I mean,
All competitions?
Under 30.
Under 30. Have you got a feeling on that, Craig?
I think he might just squeeze over if he remains fit and plays most of the season. Yeah, I do.
Jules?
I said just under. I think he will need a bit of time to adapt to the Premier League, but also to Pep and to the team. And I think they will adapt to him, but he will also adapt to them. So I can see maybe a slow start. I might be wrong. And like Pablo, just under 30 for the first season.
I wonder how his leadership skills are, because according to Patrice Evra, Man City are lacking leaders. This is what he said after their elimination in the Champions League to Real Madrid. He said Manchester City needs leaders, but Guardiola doesn't want leaders. He doesn't want any personalities. He's the leader. That is why when they have problems on the pitch, no one is there to help them. He chooses his teams to be like that. He doesn't want to train people with personality. So Guardiola has had his say back to this and said, I didn't see this kind of personality when I destroyed them. We destroyed them in the Champions League final against United. Pablo, what's it like playing under Pep Guardiola?
Well, listen, I know Patrice. I know Patrice. He's been at Man United for so many years. It must be, really tough for him to see that Man United side in playing in that way, and I think he's wrong. I mean, we all know Pep. He's one of the greatest managers in the world, and I would never forget when he came in to the club. He was clear, he knew he needed to refresh the team, but he always want players with huge personality, because you always need players like that. I mean, you cannot say that Ruben Dias hasn't got that personality, or Fernandinho, or Kevin De Bruyne, or Gundogan, Rodri. They all have a huge personality. I mean, when Kip Vincent Kompany was there, same. David Silva, Aguero, and they've all been great under Pep. He made everyone better players. So I think I know Patrice, but I think he's not right.
Craig, what do you think of what Patrice said?
Well, listen, some of these ex-Man United players cease to amaze me how idiotic they can be, and they're almost like they're a mirror image of the team, just off the charts. I mean, let's be honest, most of these ex-Man United players were on the train of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, give him time, this is a project. Across the city, we have one of you can argue about, I think, Klopp and Guardiola, where your loyalties lie. I think they're the two best coaches on the planet. You can swing one way or the other. But as we're talking about Man City, almost every club would have them. Pablo just mentioned those names. You know, all those guys, they're all super international footballers at the highest level. They've all got their own personalities. They're not winning leagues at Man City and doing what they're doing for the country because they're sitting in the corner crying. They're doing it because they lead from the front. They play some of the best football. They sign some of the best players. He manages to manage these best players and manage to cajole them to not be playing every week. That's a difficult part. How do you keep a lot of these huge players on the bench, keep them happy, and then when you need to use them, they're ready to be used? That's an unbelievable skill. So that is just more nonsense out of the Manchester United camp, this time from ex-players.
I wonder what nonsense questions you might be getting in extra time a little bit.
Yeah, well,
later.
Same as usual, I'd imagine.
It's always difficult to please Craig, but he will
same
be back for extra time. So too will Jules and Pablo. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page to always keep up to date with it.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Eintracht Frankfurt fans turning out in force, shall we say. Wonderful stuff, just like they did at the Camp Nou. So many of them, as you can see, wonderful scenes after winning the Europa League. The fans welcoming their heroes home. We also know that Archie Rintus absolutely loves a party. So guess what? He's been there. He's been there for all of the action. Archie, incredible scenes. How was it?
I've never seen anything like it, Kay. It was an atmosphere beyond belief. And look, even the players on the balcony were lighting flares at some point in it as well. Not that the police in Frankfurt are particularly happy about that. I believe they've begun investigations, but I don't think the players will still particularly care because they have brought home the Europa League, the UEFA Cup, as it used to be called, for the first time in 42 years. To Frankfurt, and that atmosphere you saw there last night, there were so many special moments. I remember most fondly, I think, when Martin Hinteregger, their cult centre-back, missed the final through injury, helped to start a chant of Neuer on the bench, Neuer on the bench, with Kevin Trapp standing alongside him. He's Germany's third-choice goalkeeper right now, but to be honest, he's had a better season than Manuel Neuer. I wouldn't go as far as saying he should be starting in goal, but his name should be written on that cup as well. One of the most amazing stories to follow in football. It's been a privilege to watch them at Barcelona, to then see what they did to West Ham and then go win the trophy as they did in such dramatic fashion in Seville.
We're glad you got to see it as well, Archie. You are our man in the know when it comes to the Bundesliga. So tell us, Borussia Dortmund, big news today, finishing second in the Bundesliga this season. But second was not enough to keep Marco Rose in a job. After just one season, he's been sacked. What went wrong for him, Archie?
You'd look at that points tally and you'd think, Borussia Dortmund didn't have that bad a season. Why is Marco Rose being sacked? And the truth is,
if you're a Borussia Dortmund fan, and I know quite a few of them, they didn't feel like this was a good season. If you watched their games, you would know that a lot of them were drab affairs, and it's difficult to really recognise what kind of an imprint Marco Rosa made on that team when it came to style of play. Now, at this point, he might raise his hand and go, well, hang on a minute. I had massive injuries throughout the season. But the question is, to what extent was that on him? I spoke to Emre Can with Bastian Schweinsteiger and Arne Friedrich on our Classica coverage a few weeks ago. And I gave Emre Can a pretty wide berth in terms of how he would analyze the season. And the first thing that he raised on his own of his own accord was, we've had way too many injuries this season. Now, the person who controls that at the club is the coaching staff and the head coach. And for me, I would interpret that as between the lines going, this was not good enough. And particularly looking at the transfers that Dortmund have made already so far this summer, very encouraging ones in Karim Adeyemi, Nico Schlotterbeck from Freiburg, Niklas Süle from Bayern Munich. I think that this is partly a decision against Marco Rosa, but also let's not forget the technical director who was their coach before, Edin Terzic, who came in and did a better job after it had already been confirmed that Rosa was coming from Borussia Mönchengladbach. Now, that's a key detail because I think that after the job that Terzic did there, they were definitely thinking, hang on, we should probably be having Edin Terzic as our coach now, and yet we can't. We've paid 5 million euros to get this guy from Borussia Mönchengladbach. So they gave him the season. And it was a disappointing season, which the point tally doesn't show, as mentioned. But I can understand why Borussia Dortmund have made this decision. It's a decision for Edin Terzic, in my opinion, who I think will become the new coach of Borussia Dortmund. But we'll have to wait and see. I'd be very surprised if it's anyone else, given what he's been doing, twiddling his thumbs as technical director. The press release noted today that the decision came after analysis of the season from Michel Zorc, the sporting director, Matthias Zammer, who is there in a consultant role, Sebastian Kehl, who is Michel Zorc's protege, taking over this summer, and Hans-Joachim Watzke, who's the CEO. And I'm thinking, surely, if you've got a technical director at the club, he should be involved in that as well. And weird that his name is left off that list. So I think it might be a sign of what's to come.
Ah, okay, a little hint there then. We'll no doubt be talking to you about that, Archie. And we want to talk to you about the German Cup final that's coming up Saturday. It is Freiburg taking on Leipzig. Two very different clubs here going head-to-head. What are you looking forward to in this game?
You're not wrong about that, Kay. Particularly because the biggest talking point in the media ahead of this has been how Freiburg have refused to let their club badge be used on the same scarf as RB Leipzig, because between the lines, so much between the lines in Germany, it's to do with the fact that they just see them as a commercial operation, as a franchise, and that is not what SC Freiburg stands for. Freiburg are there's a piece of Denglish, so Deutsch and English, German and English together, which everyone uses here, called they are everybody's darlings. Everyone loves Freiburg here. And that's going to go up a notch even tomorrow when they play RB Leipzig because, yeah, RB Leipzig are the opposite of that because of the aforementioned roots of their club as well. So Freiburg are the underdogs, but they had a wonderful season, sixth place in the Bundesliga. Christian Streich is the social conscience of German football, as he's shown in many press conferences over the years. He's created a side which is much more than the sum of its parts. Some great players in there. Nico Schlotterbeck going to Borussia Dortmund in the summer. Mark Flecken, a goalkeeper who you might remember going viral because he turned around to go take a drink from his water bottle in a second division game a few years ago. And before he turned around again, the ball's in his net. But now he's been one of the best goalkeepers in the Bundesliga. Question is, can he stop Christopher Nkunku tomorrow? RB Leipzig have not won a major trophy before. And they're letting the season slip away from them. They were favourites for the Europa League in terms of the squad strength only a few weeks ago, and then they got knocked out by Rangers. They very nearly let Champions League football slip, and this is already their third DFB Cup final. They've already let it go against Bayern. They lost heavily to Borussia Dortmund last year, and slowly you're wondering, are they cursed? They are definitely the favourites for this one, as those odds showed, but Freiburg will have 40,000 fans in the stadium as well, and I reckon that they can give them a certain edge in this one tomorrow. It's going to be a great occasion.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see. You can also see the Bundesliga player of the year, Christopher Nkunku, in action in this game. It's Freiburg against Leipzig, Saturday 2 Eastern on ESPN Plus and ESPN News. Greg Berhalter has announced his 27-player roster for a couple of friendlies, as well as two CONCACAF Nation League matches that will be taking place in June. Notably, Weston McKennie returns after suffering from that broken foot. Some notable uncapped players as well in there, including Malik Tillman. You can also see Joe Scalise being called up as well. Football Americas will be going over everything you need to know about the latest roster and so much more. Don't forget, new episodes always streaming twice a week. Well, that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC.
But German Cup final tomorrow. Derek Ray won't sleep tonight.
Happy little stay big right kid. There you are. Extra time coming next. These guys will be answering your tweets.
Oh, my God.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Should we read them off the screen? Dare I send you for the question?
Oh, I'm not going.
All right. We're going to read them off the screen today.
I don't know.
We've got Craig Burley.
We are not professional enough to have the questions in place. I'm not getting up.
We've also got Pablo Sabaleta and Julian Laron with us to answer your questions. So let's see if you can please Craig with what you've got, because it's not often that he's
well, it doesn't matter if I'm. It doesn't matter if I'm pleased or not. I just sort of waft some of them away.
Yeah, well, sometimes we hear the word guff.
Guff.
All right, first up then. Ronaldo won the Champions League with Madrid in Lisbon. Bale won the Champions League with Madrid in Cardiff. Does Kareem the Dream win the Champions League for Madrid in Paris? All my money against Liverpool. How do you deny destiny, Jules?
Exactly, you don't. You don't. That's what I've been saying for weeks now. Kareem the Dream on home soil as well at the Stade de France in Saint-Denis near Paris. I think for everything we said on the show, yes, Liverpool are a better team, of course. They play great collectively. They've got that intensity. The press and the counter-press is very impressive all the time. And they've got that energy. But Real Madrid seems invincible in this competition. We have to be honest, even if it's not at the Bernabeu, so the magic might not be completely the same. There's clearly something there. And that's why I think that Kareem the Dream will win it.
I think we need a little trademark on Kareem the Dream.
Is it at the park? I get always mixed up. What stadium is it at? Is it the Stade de France? No.
It's the Stade de France, right, Jules?
Yeah, Stade de France. Yeah. Stade de France, which is in Saint-Denis, which is obviously in the suburbs, and Parc des Princes is inside Paris where PSG play.
Yeah, Pablo, the bookies are on Liverpool's side. Is destiny on Real Madrid's, though?
Well, I mean, you never know. Liverpool, I said before, they've been really good in the last few weeks. You know, they've been playing a fantastic football. Even last game against Southampton, they make a few changes and the team won the game. But you know, Real Madrid also have those moments and those comebacks that we have seen in the Champions League been absolutely amazing. So, huge game. It's going to be a fantastic game for sure, but I think Liverpool have a small advantage.
We stayed at a lovely hotel in Saint-Denis ahead of the opening game of the 98 World Cup.
Who's we?
What do you mean? Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah, but I'm talking about it in a different context.
Right.
It's not a game. Otherwise, I wouldn't say we, as you know. Anyway, the Scotland team, we stayed at this love, and Tony Blair came to the hotel, the Prime Minister, to wish us all luck.
Prime Minister back at the time, how did that go?
Sod off. Because he's an England supporter. Best of luck. Yeah, right, enough.
Apparently the next question is for you, Craig.
I've no idea what that hotel was wasted on us. I can't remember the name, but it was lovely.
But it's a very posh one. Craig, what's your handicap in golf? Who on the panel is the best golfer?
Me.
What's your handicap?
Two.
Two?
At the moment.
Wow.
I play the most. Well, Stevie doesn't play anymore. Well, he does. He didn't rejoin the golf club this year because he's too tight, didn't want to spend the money. And then he was going to come and play the odd occasion, but he fell over the dog, which is true. And so he's got a bad shoulder. So,
is that the best you've ever been at too?
No, scratch.
Wow.
Scratch, 1, 2, 3, 4 recently, but I'm 2 at the moment.
So, you're not as good as you used to be.
Well, across the board, I think you could say that.
But he's definitely the best on the panel.
It's a tough. It's not. Listen, it's not a difficult. Ali's only just started playing. Shaka's a disaster. Dan can barely pick a club up. And Stevie's a good golfer. He is a good golfer. He's just got demons in his head. Lots. Lots of demons.
We need some videos from the golf course of Stevie.
I've got some videos of Stevie from last year in the most horrendous golf gear. Well, it's not golf gear.
What does he wear?
He wears normal clothing. Like a check shirt, long sleeve, like big baggy sweater. Not golf gear. Huh? Put it one way. The first thing you should be doing with the gear is our old colleague, Paul Mariner, God rest his soul, once said, Stevie should go in his wardrobe and get all the clothes out, every single piece of the clothes, and burn that on a bonfire.
Oh, wow. So he won't be getting a golf clothing range out anytime soon.
Stevie's not. I hope he's not watching this. Gears are
no, he's on vacation. We all know that.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows. Reply all.
The whole company knows. Reply all, Stevie Nicol. His favourite thing to do. Pablo, do you play golf?
No, I never play. I tried a few times when I was in Manchester, but it was raining all the time. It was cold and windy, and I just give up and I say, not in Manchester again. So, I'm back in Spain now. I have no excuse. I've been 2 years now in Spain, but I didn't try again.
All the foreign players that used to come to Chelsea and Celtic, they all took up golf.
They all take up paddle in Spain.
Isola and Viale and all these guys, they couldn't play. They never played. Rud Hullett, and they all took it up. That's what they're supposed to do when they come to England. Think about Angel Cabrera. Pablo Angel Cabrera, that great Argentine golfer. He won the Masters.
I know. Even Carlos Tevez and Sergio Agüero, when they were there, they used to play a lot golf very close to Nookfor, where we used to live. But I've been always very lazy to play golf in the weather.
Yeah, all right. Next question's for Jules. And? It says, question for Jules. If Mbappe does not go to Madrid this summer, should they just use the money elsewhere? As a Madrid fan, I'm tired of the whole transfer saga and I don't want to wait another year.
So, I mean, if you miss out on Erling Haaland to start with, and probably because the priority was Kylian and you thought or you were convinced at the time that Mbappe was coming, so maybe you didn't push too hard for Haaland because you knew you had Mbappe. If you miss out on Haaland, and miss out on Mbappe as well, this is a humiliation for Real Madrid. As we've been saying, this is the biggest club in the world. You can't, this is not good. It's not a good look at all. So then you need to go out and make up for that, make up for the loss. But who do you go and get? Do you try to get Mo Salah, for example, who is still not sorted out in terms of contract situation at Liverpool, only 1 year left on his contract. He wants the money that clearly Liverpool are not ready right now to offer. Maybe there's something. Do you go and get Lewandowski, for example? But I'm not sure the Lewandowski Benzema front two would work as well as a Vinicius Benzema Salah front three, for example. So but you need to go and do something because Rudiger is not enough. You know, Rudiger could come. No one will remember Rudiger came. Everybody will remember that Kylian snubbed you again and that Erling Haaland preferred City to Real Madrid. So they have to do something. The problem is right now, because they're not going to sign Cristiano or Messi either, Mbappe and Haaland are the two next big stars. They're not going to get Kevin De Bruyne. So they're a bit limited now in terms of who the next Galactico is going to be, considering that the one they wanted or the two they wanted didn't come in the end. So it would be huge if Mbappe doesn't come. And for them, they would really have to do something to almost make people forget about it.
Right, it looks as though we are going to know very soon. We have a Manchester City.
You're bored of it?
City.
Everybody's bored of it.
Everybody's a bit bored of it. Yeah.
Got a whole summer of it.
We'll keep talking about it on this show anyway.
But when the season finishes and everybody's done and dusted, how long are we going to drag that out? Because if he announces it within the next couple of weeks, just after the Champions League final, that's next weekend, the 28th, I think we're stuffed.
Well, listen, we can look for
inspiration. Hang on, we'll have to go back to the name of our documentary or something. we'll have to do something.
To the Spanish. We're just going to... the producers have decided that only when you're on, we'll talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah, along with Player of the Year awards.
Yep.
Yep. And a few other things as well.
Ballon d'Or. Man United Player of the Year.
Man United Player of the Year. Well, there won't be one of those, will they?
Well, they bottled that as well, didn't they?
Yeah, it looks as though there's going to be.
How can the Man United
no
not
traditional
have a,
Manchester
But how can
United
Man United not have a Player of the Year because the players have decided? Let me tell
well,
you.
Well, they'll still give the award to those players, but there just won't be the traditional ceremony, according to the reports.
Well, if I was David De Gea, who I think has been absolutely terrific, why? I know they've had a bad season, terrible, but, you know. Why should De Gea not be able to get up there and say, without me, you'd have been in the bottom half? I mean, literally, they would have been in the bottom half of the table, hovering around there, had he not been back to his brilliant best. So, that's a lot of nonsense. You know, you have good seasons and bad seasons. This trying to appease the supporters. Everybody wants to appease now. Everybody's worried about people being upset. Oh, we better not have an award. We were so bad, they'll get really upset with us. Everybody knows you were terrible. Everybody knows Ronaldo scored goals. Everybody knows David De Gea was excellent. And everybody knows, as a generalisation, most of the other ones underperformed and were horrible. You don't have to, like, run away and hide from it. Goodness me.
Yeah, so the rumours are, Pablo, you may have heard, that Manchester United's players have decided not to have their traditional award ceremony, not to hold one this year because of the disastrous season that they've had. The awards still will be given to those players, but there'll be no ceremony. What do you think of that?
Well, it shows you, how terrible been this season for Manchester United. I mean, that's very in England. I mean, always when I've been at Man City years ago, that we were a mid-table team, we don't at the end of the season. It's something nice that probably you come with your partner, you enjoy a moment with your teammates and families. You see the same table and some of the sponsors. I know some people from the club. I think that this type of event brings people together. I know that's, not because you been in a bad season or disappointed season, you're not going to do it. I mean, as Craig say, you know, you should... award maybe De Gea, even Cristiano Ronaldo scored a few goals for the club. I know that, but sometimes you have to respect those traditions. Years ago, because of COVID, okay, it was hard to do that. But now, they should have done it.
I mean, I've lost cup finals, FA Cup finals. And, I don't know, usually you have a function afterwards for supporters and players and, as Pablo said, families. And look, you know, lost 4-0 in the 94 FA Cup final. You don't... The function's not getting cancelled because somebody played badly or somebody let somebody down or you were walloped. It is what it is. You can't run away from it. You go along and you say, well, next time we'll try and be better and you gave our best and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's not a huge story, I get that, but it just kind of sums... It's not a massive story. It just sums up modern day mentality of worried about PR.
Right.
This is Man United in a nutshell, right? Worried about clickbait. Worried about Facebook hits. Worried about social media hits. Worried about the PR. Worried about this. Worried about that. That's Man United now in a nutshell. More worried about all the things surrounding the actual thing they should be most worried about. That kind of sums up the people in charge for me at the moment. And I don't mean the football people, I mean the people behind the scenes that are running the club day to day for the ownership. Right. That kind of sums this club up for me. It's more concerned about what people think than the reality of where they are.
Yeah, and just to go back, the last two were cancelled due to COVID, but
yes.
this time around it could actually happen, but... apparently they don't want it to happen. Anyway,
but they never have.
I'll tell you what is happening. Our next question. I actually think
you don't like reading them off the screen, do you?
Manchester United question. I don't mind. It's all right. I just like to kind of have an idea what the question is before I have to put it out there. But this one is definitely.
What are you saying?
Pablo.
People behind the scenes might deliver you a question that's questionable.
I think they might deliver.
Worst and best moment for Pablo when he's my City team.
Yes, worst and best moment for Pablo when his City team faced United in the derby.
Best and worst moment.
Yeah, against Manchester United.
Well, that game when we won 6-1 at Old Trafford. I was not playing. I was on the bench. but it was one of the greatest game I've ever seen in my life. I was sat on the bench, just looking at all Man United fans. Last minute of the game, they couldn't believe what they were saying, to be honest. And that was something incredible to see as a Man City player. The worst moment probably was when Rooney scored that goal from volley inside the box. That was an incredible goal. I was there and I will never forget that goal as well. I was at Old Trafford and credit to Wayne Rooney for that amazing goal. But that was probably one of the good and bad moments I have from my time at the Manchester Derbies.
Some good picks there. I think we've got some more questions, actually.
Have we?
I think I wouldn't know.
I must admit that is that's a blow to me. Telling me.
Don't worry.
Questions.
Just for you, like Manchester United, we're going to cancel this year's next question. There's no next question. It's all done.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're worried about what people think.
We're going to be worried about what people think.
We're worried about the comments in the comment segment below.
It didn't finish in.
We're
time.
Not taking this serious
didn't
enough.
Finish in the right place. Maybe tomorrow we'll be taking it more seriously. Join us then.